I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, and your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. In sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book is written in me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart.
Thank you. Let's give a round of applause there. Our current sermon series is all about breakthrough. And you know, something we believe that breakthrough for our church at this time is something that we're on the cusp of. It's something we really believe in God for, that in these next few months, we're going to see something breakthrough in our church. And today we're looking at breakthrough in your ministry and your service. And that's something that when I was told the topic, I had to admit I laughed, because it's something that I'm looking for breakthrough in my life at the moment. And I feel like I'm living this subject, so it is nice to get a subject that you really can connect with. The verse, as Zoe just read out, I think sets the tone for what I want to talk about tonight. Some of us deeply desire to do something for God. We have a dream or something we want to achieve for him. But at the moment, we find ourselves in that place of waiting. You know, the attitude in that psalm is fantastic. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. His plans for us are great, so we trust him. That's my focus for this morning's message. Now, I'm assuming right at the off here that this message really is aimed at the Christians in the room. If you're not a Christian this morning, I'm sorry. There's before you can see breakthrough in your ministry or your service for God, there's something else that needs to happen first, and that you need to make a decision to follow him. So this message is primarily aimed at Christians this morning, but if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you. The only way you can see breakthrough in any kind of ministry or service for God, and in many things in your life, is by making a decision to make him Lord. And I don't want to limit what we're talking about this morning to just having a ministry in the way that we think about it. Not in the traditional sense. You see, all of the things we do for God are our ministry. And I want to break ministry down into three areas, if you will, for what you get involved in church. I heard somebody say this a while ago, and it really stuck with me. I thought it was great. He said, you can break down ministry to three things. Prophets, priests, and kings. And what they meant by that was, prophets are the people who really want to speak into somebody's life. The people who have that burden to preach the word of God. But not just to preach, to teach. Those intercessors who want to really get in the line for somebody. Those are the ministries of prophets. Then you also get people with a ministry of the priests, which is those people who really just want to care for people. Really just want to look after somebody, help somebody, lead a small group, encourage people, that kind of ministry. And then, of course, we get the ministry of kings. People who are really good at making money. People who are really good at being organized. Who are really good at finding structure for things. You know, the church needs all three of these things. We need people who are going to preach the word. We need people who are going to care for people. And we need people who are good at organizing and good at working out how to fund things. I got to say, we need more kings. We definitely need more kings. Because often we look at people who have a secular job and say it's not ministry. Listen, if you're good at organizing, if you're good at making money, that can be used for God, even in the job you're doing right now. Now, we all have things that we want to achieve for God, be it to reach certain people, have a certain ministry, or have breakthrough in our personal day-to-day evangelism. Perhaps this morning you have had a dream for years, and it's not happened. Perhaps it's quite fresh. Perhaps it's new. Now, we're going to pray at the end of this meeting for breakthrough. We're going to pray that you can step into the calling that God has given you. But first of all, we're going to ask, what does breakthrough do? Where does breakthrough come from? And we're going to look at how we live our lives while waiting for that breakthrough to happen. And we're going to look specifically at the life of someone who had to wait a long time before he saw breakthrough in his service to God. First of all, we need to understand, where does breakthrough come from? We need to understand something important about breakthrough in itself. It is not your strength that brings it about. It's only through God that we can really experience true breakthrough in our lives. In our own strength, we will fail. You know, when David was struggling against the Philistines, it tells us this is how a great battle was won. 2 Samuel 5, verses 19 to 20. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands." So David went to Baal Perazim, where he defeated them. And he said, "As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me." So that place was called Baal Perazim. Now Baal Perazim means the Lord who breaks out. The Lord who breaks through. And it's important we start with this truth. Breakthrough comes from God. That's where it comes from. We can struggle, we can fight, but in the end of the day, it comes from God. So what is breakthrough? Well, the word itself means the removal of an obstruction. It means a sudden or significant advance that removes a barrier. So there's three things we need to understand about breakthrough. First of all, breakthrough needs to have a barrier in place. For you to have breakthrough, there needs to be a barrier or a problem or a blockage in your life. You need to have something to overcome if you are going to be an overcomer. Now, why is that important? We'll come back to that in a moment. But let me tell you, breakthrough brings God glory. Without problems in your life, without problems as you progress in ministry, there is nothing for God to be glorified in. Without struggles, there is nothing to turn to God to when you're in desperation. You can't have breakthrough without having hard times. Now, a barrier might be a frustration. It might feel like God doesn't want you to move in this certain direction. Maybe you even start to think, perhaps I heard God wrong. Hold fast. Because when He causes the breakthrough, it causes you to give Him glory and praise for it. The fact is, you don't know the reason for the barriers in your life at the moment. You don't have that bigger picture, but God does. Second thing about breakthrough, first, it's got to be a barrier. Second thing, breakthrough is sudden. It happens fast. It's not something that generally comes along at a steady pace. That's progress. That's not breakthrough. Breakthrough happens when it doesn't seem like it's going to, and then suddenly all the circumstances change really quickly. David compared it to water breaking out. And I get the image in my head when I read that of a dam with a tiny crack in it. And it starts with a little trickle. It seems like nothing. And then suddenly that whole wall comes crashing down. Thank God for the suddenlies, eh? We're going to pray at the end of this meeting that God is going to bring some suddenlies in our lives. Third thing. So first, we need a barrier. Second, it happens suddenly. The third is breakthrough is significant. It's a big change. Breakthrough is not something small and unnoticed. When we have breakthrough in our lives, it's obvious. Not just to ourselves, but others as well. And that is when we can really give God glory. People can see the change and give God glory for what's happened. See, when we're talking about breakthrough in our church, we are not talking about numbers going up by 10 every 5 months. That's not breakthrough. It's progress. We are talking about something that shakes us to our very core. Something that completely uproots where we are now and puts us somewhere else entirely. That's what we're believing for this church. You know, you can look at the numbers week by week, which I do, and see it trickling up and then going back down again. And then trickling up and then going back down again. You think, well, we're not getting anywhere. Breakthrough, that doesn't matter. Breakthrough, it just explodes. When we are talking about breakthrough in church, we are talking about something significant. When we're talking for breakthrough in our ministries, we are not talking about something small. So if you are praying for breakthrough today, these three things are important to remember because they will help direct your prayer. First of all, there needs to be a barrier. After all, that's why you need breakthrough in the first place. Second, it happens fast. Don't expect a lead into breakthrough. Good things take time, I've heard once, but great things, they happen all at once. And third, breakthrough is significant. When you have breakthrough, there's no doubt that it's happened. You'll know about it. So when that happens, please, make sure God gets the glory for it. See, it's only God that can bring breakthrough in your ministry, in your service to Him. It's not something that you have to push on through, especially in ministry. It's so dangerous to push your own agenda in ministry and to push yourself. But we'll come back to that in a little bit. So the question is what do we do when we're waiting for breakthrough to happen? You see, breakthrough in our ministry obviously has an effect on breakthrough in our church. When we have breakthrough in our ministry and in our service to God, it stands to reason that the body of Christ around us also experiences a breakthrough. For us to grow and thrive as a church, it takes us as individuals in our ministry and service to grow and thrive. It has a knock-on effect. See, the whole point of ministry and service is that it doesn't appear in a vacuum. In fact, ministry and service aren't really for you. It's so that you can help and affect other people. And I believe as we begin to see breakthrough in people's ministries, that we'll see more breakthrough in this church. We'll see this church grow. But rather than ask, how can I bring this about quicker? Because only God can do that. I want to ask, what do we do in the time that we wait? So if we don't push our own agendas in our ministry, how do we spend the time here and now? How do we work on our character to make sure that when that breakthrough comes, we're worthy of it? We're going to spend some time this morning looking at the life of Joseph. We can learn a huge amount from the character of Joseph and the time he spent, because he waited a long time for his breakthrough. And it all starts in Genesis 37, verses 5 to 11. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream I have dreamed. Behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. When he dreamed another dream, he told it to his brothers. He didn't learn his lesson first time. "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come and bow before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the saying in mind. See, it's very easy to write off this first part of Joseph's life as him just being arrogant in front of his brothers. Now, I think there certainly is a touch of that in there. And I think he was definitely showing a lack of wisdom in what he shared. But you see, Joseph was somebody who knew the importance of dreams. Joseph is known as an interpreter of dreams. He was not a fool. He would have known that with that dream came responsibilities, would become tasks that God wanted him to do. He would have known that this bowing down wouldn't just happen, but it must involve something else. And it was such a vivid dream, he felt compelled to share it. Why? Because he was excited. He had this dream. This is what God wants me to do. God's got something exciting in store for me. I can't wait to share it with people. Sure, it involved his family bowing down. But he'd been given a call by God, a dream by God, that he was going to do something great. He must have known bowing doesn't just happen. It has to come with something that he's achieved. You see, when we get given a dream by God for something that he wants us to achieve, we can get excited, can't we? We can think, that's brilliant. I'm looking forward to that. And we share it with people. See, when God tells you he has big plans for you, we can sometimes get carried away. You see, at this point, Joseph's a teenager. And he plows in. He unwisely shares it with all of his family. And his brothers hate him. See, when God gives you a dream of something that He's planned for you to do, people can sometimes take it the wrong way. Perhaps sometimes when you've got a dream, there's wisdom in not sharing it. Or perhaps just sharing it with the right people at the right time. Listen, I have a dream for what I believe God wants me to achieve for Him. Some people here know it, some don't. You have to be wise in who you share your dreams with. Now, perhaps we're really excited by the ministry idea God has given us. But let me tell you, sometimes telling people is going to get their backs up. There will be some people who are willing for you not to succeed. There will be people who are looking for you to fail. For the next years of his life, Joseph's dream looked like it would never happen. And his brothers felt entirely justified in what they did because clearly his dream couldn't have been true. Remember Mary when Jesus was born? Did Mary spend her entire life as Jesus was growing up saying, "Son of God, right here. Son of God"? No. When Joseph first preached and said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" What we're told is that Mary stored these things in her heart. She revealed these things when the time was right. See, the dream has to be real to you. It has to be real to those people that you trust. But your dream does not need to be real to everybody else. If you have a passion to reach a people group, or to do a ministry, or to get involved in something wonderful, your church, people might not understand. People might get jealous. There will always be people who think you can't do it. See, when God brings breakthrough, when that dream is finally realized, here's something very important. Don't go seeking revenge or vindication against those people who didn't believe your dream. Joseph did not take revenge on his brothers. In fact, when he actually saw them, he was pleased to see his brothers. He checked their repentance, and he tested them, but then he brought them back into his family. When Jesus rose again, he did not go after the disciples and say, "Where did you guys go?" He didn't say, "You guys failed me, here's a second chance." See, God gives you a ministry and a dream for His use. And when we feel the need to show people that we were right and they were wrong, then perhaps we're using our dream in the wrong way. See, the dream was important. You need something that you have to, what you want to achieve for God. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a dream? Do you have a dream of something that you want to achieve for God in your lifetime? If not, we can ask for one. I believe God wants to give you a dream. Let me tell you, that dream might not be the full picture. Joseph got a picture of sheaves of wheat bowing down. You don't have to know exactly what that picture means. You don't have to have all the details. But what the dream does is give you the inspiration to achieve it. Second point. First is you've got to have a dream. Second point is Joseph worked in his gifting. See, the areas in which God was going to use Joseph when he took over Egypt was in interpreting dreams, and that was a prophetic ministry, and he also had an administration gift. He also had the ability to be able to organize things, a king's ministry, a stewardship role. See, what we see before Joseph was in front of Pharaoh, before he was running Egypt, he was operating successfully in the areas of his gifting. First of all, he runs Potiphar's house. He runs Potiphar's house so well that Potiphar doesn't even need to think about anything during the course of the day other than what he wants to eat. And that's pretty good going. When he's thrown in prison, he still does what he's good at. Genesis 39 verses 22 to 23, it says, "And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it." The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was under Joseph's charge. You see, when Joseph was given a job to do, he worked in what he was good at. Ultimately, the fulfillment of that was that he was going to rule a country. But even before that was realized, he found ways to hone what he was good at. He also worked at interpreting dreams before he interpreted Pharaoh's. He interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. See, Joseph knew where his ministry would lie. He certainly knew the areas in life he was good at. He could interpret dreams. He would know a little about what his dream meant. He might not know the full extent of it, but he knew that God would find a use for what he was good at. See, even when it seems that his dream would never be fulfilled, when he's a slave, when he's in prison, he still operates in the area he's been gifted in. See, even when your dream doesn't seem like it's going to be reality, you can do what you're good at. You don't have to wait to be on a payroll to do what you're good at. You don't have to wait to be recognized in front of the church for what you're doing to do what you're good at. See, when Pharaoh wanted somebody to organize things and run the country, who did he turn to? He turned to Joseph, someone who'd already proven that he was good at that kind of thing. See, ministry doesn't mean just standing up and preaching or running a small group or something like that. The ministry given to Joseph was to organize. It was a ministry. And Joseph was good at it. The ultimate fulfillment was that he was going to be Pharaoh's right-hand man to run the kingdom. And that was a while off when he was in prison. But in the meantime, he didn't just sit and wait. He worked in the gifting that God had given him. He'd worked in it before that promise was ever fulfilled, before there was any recognition for it, before he was given any position. He was doing what he was called to do, but he was doing it in a smaller way. Organizing, running a house, working on his gifting, and getting better at it. You don't need to have the breakthrough before you can get involved. But when breakthrough comes, your gifting and your effectiveness start to work at a whole other level. See, the people in the government of Egypt would never have thought that a prisoner or a slave could have done that job. They would never have believed that Joseph was the right man for the job. They would have preferred a whole host of other candidates. But when the breakthrough came, there was nobody who could do that job like Joseph did it. You can be moving in your ministry a long time before breakthrough even comes. Third point, don't preempt God. Genesis 40, verses 14 to 50, Joseph is speaking to the baker who's been set, the cupbearer who's been set free. He says, "Only remember me when it is well with you. And please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here I have done nothing so that you should put me in the pit." You know, we've looked at the fact at the start that it's God who causes breakthrough. Breakthrough does not happen in our own strength. You know, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty." See, frustration in times of waiting for breakthrough can often come to us. We can often think, there's got to be more I can do to push this on, to make this happen now. Or we can think, God is moving too slowly for me in this. So I've got to do something about it. Let me tell you, our time in waiting will be better served as a time of preparation rather than trying to push your agenda forward. See, Joseph used it to become worthy of the role he was going to be given. But I wonder if in this occasion where he speaks to the cupbearer, whether Joseph made a mistake. He asks the cupbearer to remember him once he gets out. And what happens? The cupbearer forgets. And Joseph goes for another 2 years in prison. 2 years in prison is a long time. And I wonder, and this is speculation, I admit that, if that 2 year delay was caused because Joseph tried to bring on events himself. He tried to push his own agenda. Joseph had a huge responsibility coming up, and God needed Joseph to be someone who 100% relied on God. But right here, I think he wavers. See, the point is, you can try and push your own cause, but I don't believe that brings about breakthrough. Moses is another great example of that. Moses knew his destiny. Moses was brought up by his mother. He was brought up in Pharaoh's house, but his mother brought him up. He knew what God had called him to do. He knew he was the way that his people were going to be saved from Egypt. But what does he do? He preempts God and he kills an Egyptian. The result, he spends 40 years in the wilderness. He spends the first 40 years of his life getting ready, the second 40 years of his life making up for it, and the next 40 years of his life seeing it fulfilled. You know, the children of Israel were in Egypt for 30 years longer than they should have been, because Moses preempted God. Genesis 15 verse 13, it says, "They shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and shall afflict them for 400 years." The Jews were in Egypt for 430 years. Was God wrong? No. Moses preempted. If he'd waited another 10 years, could have been an entirely different story. How about Abraham? You know, he knew that there was a promise given on him that an entire nation would be born from him. He knew that between him and his wife that there would be a nation. He knew God would give him a son, but he jumped the gun. He slept with Hagar and had Ishmael born. And ever since there's been conflict there. Let me tell you, the temptation to birth an Ishmael in your ministry can be strong. Don't give birth to an Ishmael. Wait for God. Don't jump the gun. When you know what God wants you to do, it is so easy to try and jump ahead, to leap without waiting, to try and push your own cause, especially when it's something you care about a lot. But how much peace can we gain from knowing that it's not our cause? It's His cause. See, when Joseph's finally brought before Pharaoh, he says this: "Now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest during the 7 years of abundance." I think when we get to this point, Joseph's learned his lesson. He doesn't present himself as the solution, even though he knew he probably could do that job quite well. He doesn't say, "Pharaoh, appoint somebody, and by the way, I'm really good at that sort of thing." He must have felt it. He must have been standing in front of the king thinking, "This is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for my entire life." But he does not suggest himself. He leaves it in God's hands. And then the breakthrough happens. Just think. Before David became king, everybody abandoned him. Everybody. Even the Philistines wouldn't have him. But then the breakthrough comes. God still followed through. You know, for Moses and Joseph, I think preempting might have caused a delay. But it still happened. God still came through on it. Next point. I think this is the fourth point. Don't limit what God can do. See, God can go above and beyond what you could ever imagine right now. Just look at what happened to Joseph, what Joseph ascended into. Says, "Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house. All my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne, and I will be greater than you.'" That's quite a promotion. "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over the land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's. He clothed him with garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Then he made him ride the second chariot, and they called out before him, 'Bow the knee.' And thus he set him over the entire land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in the land of Egypt.'" Now there's power. "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name." He changed Joseph's name. I'm not going to read it out. "And he gave him marriage to the daughter of the priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of the king of Egypt." Can you imagine going from prison to that? Who could have imagined that would happen? He gets command of all of Pharaoh's house, and all of Pharaoh's people. He is second only to the Pharaoh himself. He gets the signet ring of authority. He gets great clothes. He gets a gold chain. And he gets the second best chariot in the land. And a new name. And a new wife. That's quite a change to happen all at once. See, breakthrough is significant. God can do things that you never thought would happen in your life. And he can do it suddenly. Don't limit what God can do with you. There are things you can achieve for God that you might today never have thought were possible. By the way, I find this fascinating. Who would Joseph have had to work with very closely to take control of all the crops in the land? If he had to go around everybody in Egypt and say, we need a fifth of everything. Is it a fifth? Or whatever. Of everything that you're producing, you're going to need some military might, aren't you? You're going to need to have the army on side. Who was the chief of the guard? Potiphar. The same man who put him in prison. Joseph would have had to have had a working relationship with Potiphar. You see, the people right now who seem like they're getting in the way of your dream, watch how you respond to them, because one day they might become essential to your dream. They might become very much a part of your dream. Let me tell you, don't start burning bridges with people right now, because you might need that bridge. Now, Kevin picked up on this last week. I was going to do a whole thing on Joseph and Potiphar's wife, but Kevin said it so good last week, I haven't put that in. But Joseph did not give in to sin during his time of waiting with Potiphar's wife. Now, just imagine if he had. How awkward would that working relationship actually have been at that point? For Joseph to know that the man he'd betrayed, he's working with every day. See, I'm not convinced Potiphar believed his wife, because I think Joseph would have been dead. If Joseph had have sinned, I can't imagine working with him. See, all those people who don't believe in you, one day those people can be of great value and a source of help to you. Don't fight against them. There is no room for bitterness when you move into ministry. None at all. And the last point. Be patient. It could take a very long time. You know, Joseph's hard times, they tested his character. They shaped him. And those hard times were necessary for what God had in store for Joseph. And be aware, it can take a long time for breakthrough sometimes to come. Be patient. That's what that verse at the start was about. I waited patiently for the Lord. Don't lose heart. Joseph's story begins in Genesis 37, and we're told this. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, and he brought his father a bad report about them. Joseph was 17, young, arrogant, and unwise in sharing his dream. So a normal 17-year-old. I remember when I was 17, I was pretty much like that. He gets his breakthrough in Genesis 41, and it says, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of the king of Egypt. 13 years of bad times before that dream was realized. 13 years of not losing heart. 13 years of pain and wondering if God had abandoned him. Now we know at least 2 of those years was in prison, but we don't know how long he was in prison before that. But more than that, you see, his dream was not fully realized until that day his brothers bowed in front of him and his family was restored. That's when the pain really ended. That was another 7 years where he worked in Egypt of the, you know, before the famine started. And then after that, there was another few years before his brothers actually came to him. It says in Genesis 46:5, for 2 years now, there's been famine in the land. That means there'd been the 7 years of good and 2 years of famine before his brothers came and bowed to him. 22 years from the initial dream until that dream became a reality. 22 years. Joseph was 39 years old when his dream that he had as a 17-year-old was finally realized. 22 years of waiting and not giving up and believing that God would come through. 20 years of character building to become the man that God wanted him to be. 20 years of waiting. And it changed in a moment like that. It was a suddenly from God. Do you feel like you've been waiting for your dream to become a reality for far too long? Do you feel like giving in? Don't lose heart. You know, God's clock is not the same as your clock. We can be so impatient sometimes. You know what? We go to McDonald's, and if they make us wait 5 minutes, we get impatient. Having said that, that does happen too often. Have you ever been given a word or a prophecy or a dream from God? Or a picture? Somebody's come up to you and said, I've been given a picture. I just want to share it with you. You take that on board. You get so excited. You think, thank you, God. 2 years down the line, it's not happened. And you think, God, what's going on? We start to think it's not right. We let it go. Let me tell you, be patient. I can't help but laugh when I say that, because I feel that so much. So many pictures I've been given, I'm still waiting for. The amount of times I've nearly let go of them. The amount of times I've really just not believed it's going to happen. My clock's not the same as God's clock. I believe it will happen. I just believe I've got to be patient. Sorry, I didn't mean to go there. God brought it about. But Joseph had to be ready for it. See, we don't push our ministry or our service without God. We can prepare. We can get ready. And how we respond in that time of waiting is massively important. Joseph kept his heart right. He refused to sin. He refused to be let down to let God down. Even though he had every right to feel like God was letting him down. He refused to sin, even to think for one moment, well, God deserves it. I deserve some badness in my life. No, he refused. Even when the situation seemed out of hand, God was in control of it. Joseph did not know the reason for what he was going through, but God knew the reason. He was going to be given a massive responsibility. Imagine if he wasn't prepared for it. Imagine if he'd been given control of Egypt and he got it wrong. People across nations, right across that area of the planet, would have died. See, if God has a big ministry for you, it's a massive responsibility. That's why your time of waiting can sometimes be so long, because God's got to make sure you are ready for it. The bigger the responsibility, sometimes the longer you've got to wait. Joseph was given a chance to manage households. Joseph acted in his giving. And thanks to people that God put him in contact with during those hard times, when the time came, Joseph was ready. While you're waiting for God to bring you breakthrough in your ministry or your service, don't waste the time. Get out there. Get involved. Get ready. It might not be what you're doing now is ultimately what you think you're going to be doing. But get busy. Get learning. Because when breakthrough comes, there's no time to second guess it. Joseph did not have a moment to think, I don't know if I'm ready for this. When breakthrough happens, it happens fast. Good things take time. Great things happen all at once. This morning, may we learn wisdom. Not to chase our dream for God arrogantly, but to be wise in who we share it with. May God give us fantastic dreams. Wonderful things he wants to achieve with us. I pray that each and every one of us gets a dream from God. May we learn to work in our gifting here and now, before that dream is ever even realized. May we be patient. Let's not move ahead of God. And may we forgive those who don't believe in us right now. And may we be ready for how big God's going to make something.